Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Yeah!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So this guy's dangerous. Respect him.
Heard nationwide. Televised online at richeisenshow.com.
Now you should be making love to this football when you get it.
How about Jalen Richard?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Come on!
Today's guests. Bucks running back Leonard Fournette. Actor Matthew Modine. Sports Illustrated senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. Plus two-time Olympic gold medalist Michaela Schifrin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on Peacock, NBCSN, and radio station satellite and terrestrial across this great nation and globe. We're globular. I'll just say that. Welcome here to our global, I guess is a better word. Yeah. Welcome to the post-week two NFL edition, getting ready for Game 3 in Western Conference Finals, getting ready for sports all across our great landscape to continue to come back and give us some enjoyment, like Monday Night Football last night. Good to see you, by the way, Chris Brockman.
Hey, buddy.
How are
What's
you over
man?
There?
Good to see you.
Del Tufo is off today. He's doing stuff for somebody else that, you know, he says he's doing, and we trust him. Honestly.
We trust him?
Honestly. T.J. Jefferson, good to see you over there, sir.
Oh, Rich, you'll hire register.
Spot. Mike. At any rate. Okay. So what do we take from last night's Monday night game? If you read Twitter, and I'm honestly trying to read less of it these days.
Same.
But it is such a crucial news gathering item, and also you get to see what others are thinking as you're trying to figure things out. You know, moving forward, you're trying to figure all that stuff out during a game. I'm looking at it, and what do you glean from Monday Night Football last night?
A few things.
Drew Brees is done. That's it. It's been great. It's been great. And he's done. And all my colleagues at NBC that are waiting for him, I guess you're going to get him week three. That's kind of a bummer. Well, they are going to get him in week three for sure, because of his next game is on Sunday Night Football. But I'm just talking about broadcasting career. Apparently he's done. He threw for 300 yards last night. He's finished. 26. It's funny. Look at his stat line. 26 of 38, 312 yards, touchdown, interception. Alvin Kamara looked tremendous last night, damn near over 100 yards receiving. Traquan Smith, with Michael Thomas out, he had quite a night. 5 catches, 86 yards. You take a look at that, and you're like, okay, so Brees did what he needed to do with his number one receiver out, the guy who he basically targets half the time out for the first time in a long time. And he acquitted himself. But then the eye test, where it was checked down central quite a bit.
It was.
Our friends at PFF, Pro Football Focus, Chris Collinsworth, Pro Football Focus, where they break everything down.
Love that site.
Drew Brees' average target depth, in other words, the average depth from the line of scrimmage where he was targeting a receiver, 5.3 yards last night. And of his 300-some-odd passing yards he amassed last night, 60% of them were yards after catch, meaning he puts the ball exactly where it needs to be. He positions his receiver to catch and run. That is part of this offense. But when you need to throw deep, even though they are playing two safeties back, as, by the way, I really enjoyed listening to the broadcast last night. You know, big bag of leads. I've heard his voice, get out of town, and I mean it, for over a quarter century on SportsCenter. Greasy and Lewis Riddick, I really enjoyed listening to their commentary.
Yeah, same.
They're talking about two safeties deep, so obviously they're like saying you're not going to throw it. They throw it where you're supposed to throw it. And Drew Brees is one of those GOAT quarterbacks. He's like, you give me what you're going to give me, and I'll take it. But you look at Drew Brees, and you see last night, and you all that plus the number 41, which is his age now, and it came up based also on his week one performance, in which the Saints won. People are viewing that as the deodorant of diminishing returns. By the way, that's not a bad fantasy team name.
Very good.
The deodorant of diminishing returns.
Ding.
Covering things up. Now, Drew Brees himself was asked about this last night. This is what Drew Brees had to say on this very subject.
My job is to execute the offense, right? And so I think I've always evaluated myself on being a great decision maker. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to throw the ball to the open guy, move the ball down the field, score points, help us win football games. You know, so that's my job. My job's not to have the most air yards or throw the ball down the field the most or anything like that. My job's to help us win. My job's to help put everybody around me in the best position to succeed. And that's all I'm focused on.
That's a goat chafing at the question. Who could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl the year Peyton Manning won it with the Colts? I'll answer that question for you. The running back Dominique Rhodes.
Correct.
Could have been the MVP that night because of how many times Peyton Manning checked it down to him. And I know that that would probably chafe with Peyton Manning because he was playing cover two, Lovie Smith's defense. He took what was given to him. That is the way I'm going to take this right now, because I have been around the block long enough to not paint with the broadest brush, the paint of "you're done" atop a goat.
I mean, Kellerman's been doing it to Brady for like 8 years.
I will not do it. It's very simple for us to do it. All I'm going to say is it sure looked at times last night that the Saints could use some chunk plays, and they weren't there. And part of it is you must proverbially tip the cap to the Raiders, which I will do at length momentarily. But the story coming out of this is the Saints, Super Bowl contenders, no Michael Thomas, Drew Brees looking at times ordinary. And you've got this as the storyline coming out of this game, because the Saints are 1-1. By the way, still tied for the lead. They're really in front because they've got a tie break on the other 1-1 team, because their one is against the Bucs, whose Leonard Fournette will be joining us shortly. I'm just not ready to do it yet, but there's Sunday night coming up, and you know Brees will be sitting on this storyline all week. You know Sean Payton will be hearing it. You know that Sunday night football is in New Orleans with Green Bay coming to town and Aaron Rodgers. And oh boy, let's see what the Saints look like here.
But you think they're going to throw deep on the first play just to prove a point?
No, let's see what the passing game looks like. I'm not ready to say Brees can't push the ball down the field because he's an old man and he's toast. I'm just not going to do that. That is absolutely what you're hearing today from a ton of people. I won't do it. Because, again, sometimes a quarterback will win a game based on what you give him, Doesn't matter what it looks like in terms of air yards. And sometimes the quarterback will take what you give him and they lose and they look like they don't have the ability or gumption to throw deep, baby. And you heard what Breeze's answer is right there. I will, as if he cares or not, accept that. But here comes Green Bay. Here comes Aaron Rodgers. Here comes Aaron Rodgers with a chip on his shoulder still. Here comes Aaron Rodgers throwing deep left, right to everybody.
Man. 42 points a game.
Everybody's getting, everybody's eating right now. And so, yeah, Breeze is coming to NBC. Many people think he's coming as a broadcaster very shortly. And others think that, like I am, I'm waiting to hear and see. Didn't look good for the Saints last night, obviously. Part of the reason why is because of the Raiders. Now then, if Derek Carr makes decisions that are smart, if he is accurate in making those decisions, and if he's decisive and accurate, and also mistake-free, this is going to be a tough team to beat. This is going to be a tough team to beat. Darren Waller is a problem.
Monster.
Okay? Ooh. Darren Waller is a problem. Last night, Sean Payton said, when asked, you know, did you not have the right combination? And he goes, pretty much. They couldn't figure it out during the game. Darren Waller is a problem. Significantly. Today, Bill Belichick, in his Zoom today, getting set for his next game against these Raiders, said that it's been a long time since we've seen a tight end like Waller. I'm paraphrasing, but this is a guy who coached Gronk. He's a problem. The run game, Josh Jacobs, if he can stay healthy, you know, I've told this to Mayock. I told it to him. He looks like Zeke to me. He arrives with intent. He arrives with intent, and he gets stronger as the game goes on. He got banged up last night. He came back in, and he started running the clock out for the Raiders, hitting people. Now, I will also say this. What's so good about the Raiders? Mayock's building quite a team, and Gruden's dialing it up. Now, obviously, I'm biased about Mike, but the Raiders are beginning to have monsters at several positions. Tight end, running back, defensive end. Max 2X's Crosby is also a problem. He's a monster. He's right around the corner from getting defensive player of the year conversation.
You going to give him that rope?
No, it's higher register right now. Hey, you know what? Max Crosby right now, you know? Like, right now it's higher register, but soon it's going to be like this Max Crosby. And then as long as he's not having a freak injury in week one or getting knocked out by television carts in week two of his second season, yeah. Jonathan Abram's a monster too.
Yes, he is.
He's a problem. So you got problems on the back end and the front end of the defense, and you got a problem at tight end, you got a problem at running back. This is why they went for Antonio Brown. If they can get a problem at wide receiver, like a problem. Could it be Ruggs? Aguilar's showing could a little be. Bit. Aguilar's right now higher registered. Like, what are those moves? Right?
How many people didn't even know he was on the Raiders?
Right.
I didn't until the second quarter. To be honest.
So if they can have a problem at wide receiver, because they got a problem at coach.
Yeah, that guy's, Gruden's back.
Oh, man, is he back?
Yeah, Gruden's back. I'm here for it, too. You see the post-game video?
You know,
dancing in the locker room.
He goes back for 54 yarders. Yeah. He kicks deep, baby. I mean, you know, 54 yarder ices the game. And again, Derek Carr is.
He's a leader.
Dealing. He's dealing. Well, his first two games, he is dealing. You know, he went toe to toe with in Carolina week one, you know, traveling across the country in a pandemic. Your first snaps come after you get on a plane and fly all the way out and you're masked up. You're doing all this stuff. I am very impressed with the Raiders.
Yeah.
They have something cooking. Avoid the injury bug and avoid mistakes. They're going to be a difficult team. And they're coming at you physical, too. I mean, Waller's a beast. And so is this kid, Josh Jacobs.
Oof. I was worried he got banged up, though.
Mistake-free. When Rashard fumbled the ball, opened the door up for the Saints in that game. But God bless Gruden. What's the touchdown that sealed it? Same play that Rashard fumbled. They called the same play that Rashard fumbled. He grabbed it, made a nice move on the sideline where I think the Saints thought he was just going to go out of bounds.
They laid
and he kept going.
Yep.
Oakland at New England, man, is a big week three game. So is Saints at Packers.
There are some nice week three matchups.
Okay.
There are tons. Romo going to New England.
And then this show in 1 week will be all about the Monday night finale of week three between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Fun stuff. But I don't know if Gruden's, they're just 2-0. So that's 14 more games until you might have the actual prediction.
16-0, man.
There you go, right there. Right now, why not?
They were fun to watch last night.
They were fun to watch. Why like, I'm telling you, they have physical. And then Hunter Renfrow is running around out of the slot.
Yeah, Edwards made a play.
Quicker than fast, to use the Mayock phrase that I always heard about players like him. Yeah. You know?
And I know Ruggs only had one catch, but just the threat of him.
Maybe he's the guy. Well, that was also the penalty towards the end of the game. Wasn't that who Carr was throwing to? That was the last penalty.
Third and one.
That was kind of the backbreaker where Janoris Jenkins hooked Ruggs.
Yeah.
So those are my two takes. I will not bury Drew Brees two games into his season with 41 at age 41. I just won't do it.
Do you have the shovel in your hand?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Is the hole dug?
I don't.
Okay.
Have you picked out a plot?
No, I am not doing that yet.
He didn't look good.
Well, again, he doesn't have the guy who he literally looks for half the time.
Can't be guarded.
And he's gone. Emmanuel Sanders was a non-factor last night.
A little surprising.
So, no, I will not do it yet. I won't do it yet.
Okay.
It would be helpful if the Saints defense could have put Carr on his ass or figured out how to guard. Can't guard Darren, I guess, right? I mean, can't guard Waller last night. So the defense earns a finger to be pointed in their direction.
A good finger, right?
Yeah, the index finger. That's my take on Monday Night Football. I'm not going to come. I mean, might be a little bit too nuanced for something like this.
I mean, it's Tuesday. Come out hot.
Well, I've got my hot take fourth down. You're going to really enjoy it.
Is it spicy?
It's a spicy. My four downs, I'll give you four observations of the NFL through 2 weeks. Three of them are legit. The fourth one is my fourth down hot take. Honestly, I just allow myself just a quick hot minute to be a hot take artist. but I do believe in my heart that this is – I want to go 16-0 on all my hot takes as well. You know, that's right. Thank you.
Break out the Frank's Red Hot.
I want to do that.
Ooh,
so
put that on everything.
So here's our show. We're very excited. Leonard Fournette's coming right up. Matthew Modine is here, and he wants to talk about Full Metal Jacket, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, a great Kubrick film. There are those who think the first half is much better than the second. You're one of those people,
I'm
right?
I'm in that category.
It is something else. And the reason why he's coming on is because it's available today on 4K Ultra and HD Blu-ray, combo pack, and digital. So he's a diehard Knick fan. I don't know if I'm going to go pull him into the private pile part of the Dolan wormhole, but nice. I will do it, attempt it.
What is your major malfunction?
Michaela Schifrin is joining me, the 7-time Olympic and world ski champ. She will join us as our friends at NBC and Peacock. You know, the Tokyo Games are around the corner next year. And I know that she's a Winter Olympian, but there's a lot going on in that world because of COVID-19 and the inability to get ready even for the 2022 games. She will be joining us in our third hour. And tonight's a big waiver wire night in fantasy.
Yeah, it is.
And I've got the first overall pick in my waiver wire. Yes, and I've got Saquon on the team, I need a running back. Do I take somebody, you know, who's backing up Christian McCaffrey instead? I'm sure you're in that position. Yeah. We're back with Leonard Fournette here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and be a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
We're back here on Peacock, 90 seconds removed from our NBCSN audience rejoining us. Same with some of our terrestrial radio outfits checking out the Rich Eisen Show every single day. We've got a lot going on today. As we mentioned, four guests. Can't wait. Matthew Modine is also, you want to talk Vision Quest with him too, right? You want me to hit him? Like, what do you want to know about Vision Quest? Like, literally, what is the one thing you're even curious about Vision Quest?
What it was like to work with Linda Fiorentino, I think that was, would be my number one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. I mean, like a 12-year-old TJ, you know, okay. I caught feelings watching that movie.
I can't ask somebody, how hot was Linda Fiorentino? I mean, like, what do you?
I don't think it's a question that needs to be asked because it's obvious. I mean, did you see Vision Quest? Like,
Vision Quest doesn't usually get a lot of run for sports movies, right?
I've never seen it.
I'm weird, though, you know, but yeah. Vision
it's about Quest. Wrestling, right?
Yeah. And you know, I'm slightly obsessed with wrestling, so, but.
Well, I mean, you like the top rope, hit people on top of the head with folding chairs type wrestling. That's
oh, yeah, brother. Dig it.
I want some Any Given Sunday with Matthew Modine.
Huh.
He's in a lot of stuff.
He was in Any Given Sunday, wasn't he?
He was the good doctor.
He was a good doctor.
Wow.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've got 32 NFL games in the books, and everything seems to be going.
Feels good.
I mean, my gosh.
Feels good.
Knock on wood right there.
Yeah, for real.
What's our poll question over there, Christopher?
I like it today. 11 2-0 teams, guys. That's a lot, in case you're wondering. But who's the biggest surprise at 2-0? Bears, Cardinals, Raiders, Rams. At Rich Eisen Show,
Bears,
give us a call
Cardinals,
right now.
Cardinals. Raiders, Rams.
I'm kind of shocked that all four of these are 2-0, but
Bears, Cardinals, Raiders, Rams. I mean, the Bears did have a visit to the Lions,
but and the then Lions, a home date with the Bears. There was a lot of hype coming in to the Lions.
They
this
needed.
Year.
I know they needed. They needed a huge fourth quarter
a
comeback
miracle.
And
yeah.
a dropped pass, and then against the Giants.
They needed Saquon to get injured,
and then but the Giants almost came back and won too. They could. The fine line between 0-2 and 2-0. Like if DeAndre Swift caught the ball and Daniel Jones finds someone in the end zone, we might be seeing Nick Foles in week three.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Cardinals? Ooh, baby. Hey, the 49ers week one. Raiders? No one thought they would be 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of question mark about the Rams coming into this season. If they would be back or not.
The Rams are at Buffalo this weekend.
Huge game. That is sneaky huge.
The Rams are at Buffalo this weekend. And I think the Rams did fly home from Philly. So they went all the way out to Philly, then flew home to be here. And now they're going to go to Western New York.
Whereas aren't the 49ers staying on the East Coast because they're playing?
Man,
the-
if they can beat Josh Allen... And yeah. this Bills team, which has, as you know, division aspirations and beyond. Look at the next three games. Giants, Washington football team, and who knows what's going to happen with the 49ers now that it is official. They lost not one but two defensive linemen.
Let's just keep going. If they beat Buffalo this week, 8-0 into the bye week is a real possibility.
That at San Francisco, I'm not going to chalk anything up against the 49ers.
We also don't know what that team's going to look like, the 49ers. Is Garoppolo going to be back? Is Debo Samuel going to be back?
It looks like Garoppolo is now day-to-day and has escaped serious injury, which, as you know, is something that's an outlier for the 49ers these days.
And the high ankle sprain.
Okay. We're welcoming back to the Rich Eisen Show, but for the first time as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, fresh off of a big performance in week number two for this team that I have chosen to win it all. I'm not just saying that to butter up my next guest. I truly felt that way based on everything that I saw this offseason and then his acquisition by the team after Jacksonville moved on, surprisingly, from him. It was kind of like the final decision maker for me. He's Leonard Fournette. How are you, Leonard?
I'm good. Long time, Rich. How you been?
I am well. How about you? What's going on with you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
You got it. So when did you hear that you were going to get let go by Jacksonville? Let's start with the last few weeks before we turn to the current day.
Well, to be honest, I didn't hear anything, to be honest. But when I was on my way walking up for breakfast to get ready for breakfast and stuff and go get ready to eat, one of the guys from the office had told me Coach wanted to talk to me, and after that, he just released me. His words was, "I don't think I fit the scheme. I'm more of a guy that needs the ball 20 plus times, you know, which is cool. And it's a business at the end of the day. I kind of understand that now. My first year in the NFL, and it's no harm, no hard words, no hurt, none of that. It's a new start for me here in Tampa Bay."
Yeah, well, look, obviously, you're in a pretty good spot. But before we get to that spot, though, I do want to linger on this a little bit, if you don't mind. So Coach Marone told you you were not a scheme fit in releasing you?
Yeah.
How did that sit with you?
It was shocking. You know, I was shocked. I didn't really have any words to say, to be honest. Just shook his hand. I went to see a couple of players, a couple of coaches before they let me go, and that's about it. You know, I moved on.
Of course. Now you're with Tampa. What were your decision? What were your choices when you had one?
Well, I had a lot. I had a lot of choices, to be honest. And I just felt like Tampa was the place for me as far as, like, the position it was in. I think it's ideal. Like, Tom Brady's the quarterback. You have guys like Mike Evans. You have Chris. You have Gronk. You have LeSean. You have Rojo. You have a great line. You have a hell of a defense. And I figured I can help out even more by coming here. And that was my decision, you know?
Did did Brady call you while you were making your decision? Did he reach out at any point to say, come here? Or
a lot of guys was calling me off from all over, but at the end of the day, I think the last decision came to me, you know, and I felt like Tampa was the ideal choice for me, especially coming from a team that's so used to 8-9 man boxes, you know, and I think that's why a lot of people kind of took my comment, you know, when I said about Minshew, which I didn't really mean it like that, but what I really meant was, like, I know Tom can help me out a lot. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of defensive schemes, they fear that man. You know what I mean? He's been playing for so long. So I just think I try to help myself out to put myself in a better situation and not being forced to ball 20-something times a game, you know?
No, I know. I hear you. I'm not a film junkie. I've only seen it. I only saw it live. But didn't the touchdown you ripped off to end the game, wasn't that coming with a bunch of guys in the box, Leonard? Didn't that?
Yeah, it was.
Because, you know.
The situation was in, it's kind of like to end the game.
Yep.
So, of course, we were going to run the ball. It was second to run. So, yeah. It was.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of a specialty of yours. You did that against Pittsburgh a few times, if I'm not mistaken, back in your Jacksonville days. I got Leonard Fournette here on the Rich Eisen Show. So your first impressions of Tom Brady and playing alongside the GOAT would be what?
He's the champion, man. You love a guy that who gets frustrated when he makes mistakes. And when I say frustrated, I don't mean like the bare minimum. Like it hurts him almost to the fact that he made a bad choice. And that's the type of guys I need around me. And I think that's not just me, the whole team better as a whole. When we can kind of reflect on ourselves and get pissed at the mistakes we made and get better from it, you know. And I've seen that from time to time. He motivates everyone, especially the offense, about keep going, even though we might have a bad drive or anything might happen. And he's just a great motivator to be around.
And just in terms of, you know, not wanting to disappoint him as well, Leonard, is that what you're saying? There's that aspect of it?
That and I mean, disappoint yourself too. You know, we all put in the hard work during the week and just to get ready for the Sunday, you know. So I think it's vice versa. I think we kind of expect that out of ourselves too, to not to mess up.
Leonard Fournette here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, you know, all of us are focused on who's starter, who's not. What's your relationship with Ronald Jones like? And obviously the Sean. That's a heck of a running back room that you got right there.
Yeah, I love it, man. Rojo, he's kind of to himself. He's quiet. Shady more of the outgoing type. You know, Shady's funny as hell, man. I mean,
yes,
he keeps the room going. I know I'm funny too, and I've been around a lot of funny guys, but I think Shady got me beat. You know, and I say just the vibe of the room. You know, from I think this is Rojo's third or second year. This is my fourth year. And it's actually this is the first time I've ever been in a room in the last 2 years with guys that's older than me. You know, like McCoy. Huh. You know, last year in Jacksonville, or this year in Jacksonville, I was the oldest guy, me and Chris Thompson, which it felt funny because I wanted to go into my fourth year and to say I'm the oldest guy. It was weird. You know what I mean? It was funny. But I love the running back group. You know, I think we can get better as a whole. We kind of help each other with the little things, you know, because, you know, Shady's been in the league for a minute. And the things he's seen and the things he's done, you know, he's always critiquing us, helping us with our game.
Now, you say it's rare for you to be in a room with someone older. Haven't you been in a room with Tom Coughlin, Leonard?
Yeah, I have. But actually, Tom was a player at the time.
Oh, okay. Okay. See, I'm a funny guy too, Leonard. You know, I guess that's my competitive streak. When I hear that, you know, you're talking about other people being funny, I guess that was my competitive streak coming out there.
Yeah, that was a nice one.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's kind of all I'm looking for. So what was the conversation like between weeks one and two? We're all focused on Arians and Brady's relationship and how the offense did not come out looking like somebody that was about to win the Super Bowl. And I, you know, obviously it's a work in progress, but what was it like internally, that conversation between weeks one and two, Leonard Fournette?
I mean, it's a week to week thing. I've seen the first week, that was my third day in the facility with those guys, you know. So I think as time goes on, we're only going to get better and better. You know, we still have a lot of guys. And, you know, a lot of us don't have chemistry like we did. I'm about the first year. You know, this is like my dude still here, or my third, whatever it is. And I'm still learning guys, still figuring them out, understanding their weaknesses and what they're good at, what can I help them on. So we're still figuring out a lot, you know, of knowing that. And he loves the game of football. And I think he's going to do a great job figuring us guys out to help us out in situations like that.
Well, Leonard, look, man, I appreciate the time. Thank you for calling in, and let's do this on the regular. You know, congrats on winding up with a team that's got Super Bowl qualities and a place where you still don't have to pay state tax.
yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And you know, let's catch up mid-season, see how you're doing, if you don't mind.
Well, definitely appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You got it. You be well. That's Leonard Fournette right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is phone connection getting a little bit wonky, as they say. Look, I don't want to make any predictions. When I was telling you last week, I think Benny Snell was about to take over the Steelers running back position, and James Conner had different intents. But maybe we're focused on the wrong thing here.
Fournette looked good, man.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Maybe Ronald Jones is your opener, to use the baseball phrase.
Okay.
And this guy's your closer.
And McCoy looked good in the passing game.
Dude, he dropped one in the end zone, too. I mean, Tom hit him right in the hands. I mean, Cut on Dime is sitting there, too.
But he had a few to get him down there.
That's the whole thing. This is why I chose them. Because their defense is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Brady, Evans, Godwin, Gronk, O.J. Howard, that running back room, that offensive line, that mindset with Arians and Leftwich. That's why I chose him.
I get the feeling the team we're seeing now, probably for the next few weeks, is not going to be the team we're seeing in December.
The work in progress.
Yeah. Like Leonard said, chemistry. These guys don't have it yet.
If you will. But maybe Ronald Jones is the starter, and then he tenderizes, and then in comes Leonard, and he pulverizes. And once Gronk can get up to speed, you play fake to 28, and you find 87. Or 13. Or 12. I mean, you just keep going on and on and on.
Yeah, keep going.
That's why I like him.
I think so.
Unless Brady can't push the ball down the field either. That'll be the conversation when they next that'll be the conversation on the Sunday Nighter in Tampa, week 9. Circle November 8th. Al and Chris and everyone else with the Buccaneers ship.
You don't think it's going to be Jameis against his former team?
You're touching on something that was all over Twitter last night. All over. Okay. And if Brady can't push the ball, I mean, Breeze has trouble pushing the ball down the field. You got somebody who can push the ball down the field, but you also got somebody who can push it into somebody else's hands. And that is not what Drew Brees is going to do.
Nope.
I'm not ready for that yet. Just to repeat, everybody, I am not ready for that yet. But when we come back, I am ready for my four downs. Cam related? Yes. Also, one injury that isn't being talked about all that much, or significantly, as a significant injury, and I'm about to bury a team.
Grab the shovel.
Fourth down, hot take plank is going to be clutched shortly. Right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, GEICO.com.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Pro Football Talk, Dan Patrick Show, us, brother from another, PFTPM, NBC Sports on Peacock, streaming now, available on Roku, everybody, Roku. Big news in the Eveline Eisen household. Roku.
Love it.
Now what we're going to do, Mom, is just sign you up for Peacock.
It's very easy.
Can you put Chris on camera, Don? Say that to the camera.
Mrs. Eisen, it's very easy.
There you go.
You got an email address? You can get Peacock.
There you go. Good sell. See, it's Chris is telling you, Mom. Okay. So there's that.
Which is nice.
Coming to Roku and then more. Just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's what we did.
Rich Eisen Show bump. That's it. You've got news on the Rich Eisen Show bump later on. right, TJ?
Yes, we do.
I can't wait for that.
Just a few things.
All right, fantastic. You know. Which is the most surprising 2-0 team? Bears, Cardinals, Raiders, Rams. I will give you my 2 cents on all that later on the program. My four downs coming up in a second. However, before we get to that, there is some COVID-related news that is out. Good and bad.
Let's start with the good.
Good. The NFL COVID testing from September 13th through the 19th. In other words, the first set of tests conducted by the NFL after all the vectors had been crossed from one team to another. All the testing prior to this was everybody in their 32 facilities and making sure that everyone's COVID-free by the time they step on a field in week one. First time tests were conducted of a team that got on a plane and stayed in a hotel room and then went to a stadium and played and got on a plane and went home. Zero positives.
That is good news.
Thousands upon thousands of tests, zero positives. Meaning, testing doesn't find cases. Just throwing that one out there. That's the positive. Here's the negative. Notre Dame football getting set to take on Wake Forest this very Saturday. According to Pete Thamel, will not practice today. They announced 4 positive COVID-19 tests yesterday. So here we are on a Tuesday, game Saturday, no practice. Keep your eyes and ears, if you will, open and peeled on news on that front. Sending our best to Coach Kelly and hoping they can get out there. So that's your update on the COVID-19 front. And the fact, again, that the NFL is, knock on wood if you're with me, free of COVID testing right now, free of COVID positive tests right now, we can lose ourselves in stuff like, say, four downs. Let's get to it right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop?
First down.
Thank you so much. Here's my first down. I sent out a tweet to this effect that got liked about 50,000 times, and there was a lot of people discussing it, and I'm not bringing that up right now just because, you know, for any other sake other than the fact that it is somewhat of a hot topic. And part of it is 2 weeks into the NFL season, 2 Cam Newton performances into the NFL season, begs the question officially now for everyone, what we were wondering since the minute it sounded like Carolina was going to part ways with him and then did. We on this show were wondering, why in the world is no one signing Cam? Now the question is, how in the world did no one else sign Cam Newton? Now then, the responses I got to my tweet on that front were manyfold, where people were like, you know the answer, Rich. He's an African-American quarterback and teams are racist. You could make a case that clearly African-American quarterbacks in the NFL have a totally different set of circumstances they must meet in order to start. That is a fact. We know it. Once again, Blake Bortles is signed instead of Colin Kaepernick in Denver, and that's a large conversation. And part of it is absolutely political. We love John Elway here on this show. He's been on. I love this guy. He has been part of fundraisers with Mike Shanahan in the Colorado area for the president of the United States, who has been very vocal about Kaepernick for many years, although he has reversed his position, says that Colin should get a job now. Part of it is also Drew Locke is their guy, and you don't want to have a guy coming in who you've already challenging somebody who's already your choice at quarterback, who's in year two. They are invested in Drew Locke. They don't want Kaepernick coming in and running like crazy. For political reasons, maybe. Sounds like it. Feels like it. Or for the fact that they don't want to complicate matters. So I just wanted to hit all that, because you can also say it's not racism, clearly, when one of the teams that should have gone and gotten him, and we were pounding the table for weeks about it, is a team that is coached by a man of color who is starting a man of color in Anthony Lynn and Tyrod Taylor, who I'm going to hit later on the show as well, because get somebody in your life who loves you as much as Anthony Lynn loves Tyrod Taylor. We'll hit that later on. But I just wanted to touch upon the, some of the responses I'm seeing on Twitter about this being an issue of race. Jacksonville, I have no idea why they didn't want to go and get Cam Newton. Maybe Gardner Minshew's killing it down there. Maybe they believe in him.
Yeah,
or we think they're tanking for Trevor. You want to tank for Trevor, Cam Newton's not your choice.
Nope.
And in Chicago, hey.
Trubisky.
They are so wrapped up in him because of the general manager there. You think he's going to bring in Cam? Hey, brought in Nick Foles in. I thought they should have still brought in Cam. You want to push Trubisky? And if you want to give him a shot, fine. But look who's standing right there. Because if you bring him in, Trubisky's never going to get another shot again if 2015 Cam shows up, which is also part of the issue why he was home, because during COVID-19, you can't really get somebody in for a physical. The NFL refused to allow people to go get a physical. There are ways around it, though.
And the guy's coming off two surgeries. But like, come on.
If the Chargers don't make the playoffs because the Patriots do, and if the Patriots go on to the Super Bowl in the AFC, blame the Chargers, Bears, and Jaguars, and whoever else needed a quarterback that you think needs a quarterback, because for some reason they let Cam sit at home and let Belichick call him up. The worst possible guy for a 2015 Cam to be placed in that hands if you're the rest of the league. How in the hell did that happen? And you're shrugging right over there, because right there, the Patriots were looking at the start of their season post-Brady.
Stidham, dude.
With Jared Stidham.
Or Hoyer. Come on.
You wouldn't be 1-1 right now, I don't think. Or this close to being 2-0. With an absolute legit shot to run the table.
Yeah.
Because it's Belichick, it's McDaniels, and it's 2015 Cam showing up in 2020. 2 weeks in. That's first down. Let's move to second down right here.
Second down.
All right. We're all focused on Saquon Barkley's injury because Saquon is number 2 overall pick in everybody's fantasy draft after McCaffrey. And later on in the show, we've got Michael Fabiano calling us up to tell us about what to do on a waiver wire and all that stuff. And also, Saquon is on commercials, and Saquon is in New York City in a major media market, and he is just a dynamite human that is all over the place. But Nick Bosa's ACL injury is just as hurtful to the 49ers as Saquon's is to the Giants, and you can make a case it's even more hurtful. Because the Niners had Super Bowl aspirations, Giants didn't. And what Bosa means to that defensive line, and forget about the fact that Solomon Thomas also is out for the rest of the season due to the same injury, what he means to this defensive line, what he means to the defense, what he allows the rest of the defense to do, what he does, may be the best of any defender in the NFL, which is why Defensive Player of the Year is all over the place for this guy. Could have won it last year even. That is a harmful, hurtful injury to the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm genuinely concerned for them for the rest of the year because of that injury. In the same way you think that the Giants season is done because of Saquon, can't say that about the 49ers because of how deep they are. But that injury is just as bad, just as harmful, just as hurtful, if not more so, to the 49ers than Saquon's is to the Giants. Let's get to third down right here.
Third down.
Okay. You know, I said this yesterday. I said last week that I would like to mulligan out of choosing this team to win the division. And I said yesterday that they're deeply in trouble, even though they weren't on our list of who's the team that's most in trouble, because there are other choices that we went with. But I'll tell you what, the Minnesota Vikings are in deep, deep trouble. Stephon Diggs is now suddenly Jared Allen's favorite receiver. 150 some odd yards for him. And boy, the Vikings sure looks like, but did I say Jared Allen? I think I had Vikings on the brain. Josh Allen, take a look at this offense right now. I mean, the Colts put the bang thing on Kirk Cousins. I'm not a passer rating guy, unless, of course, it fits my narrative. 15.9 passer rating for Kirk Cousins against the Indianapolis Colts. That is the fourth worst by any quarterback in the Super Bowl era.
Yikes.
The offensive line is not gelling yet. They're young. They're getting beat. Dalvin Cook can't get many yards going to take any pressure off of Cousins in the passing game. I mean, you know, they need help. They need help. Considerable help defensively. And Dalvin Cook is the king of the solo shots down 8 runs in the 9th inning, to use the baseball phrase. He's scoring touchdowns and the game's out of reach. The Packers are already 2.5 games clear of him. Look at the schedule. They've got the Tennessee Titans this week. Then they're at Houston, at Seattle, home for Atlanta.
Oof.
Atlanta could put 50 up on this team. Or all they got to do is score 4 touchdowns. How are the Vikings going to catch them?
Yeah.
Then they got a bye week, visit to Green Bay again. Back end. Week 11, they're home for Dallas. And 2 more visits with the NFC South at Tampa and at New Orleans in December. They're in deep, deep, deep trouble. And I avoided that Week 13 game because that's my fourth down here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Down. Okay, it's hot take time, and of course the plank has a mask because we're safe around here.
Yeah, so we also want to get fined.
What do you got, Rich Eisen?
Okay, here we go. Here's my fourth down. How bad are the Vikings? How deep in trouble are the Minnesota Vikings?
My apologies. Are they?
My apologies to all my Vikings friends out there. Swordson and the handsome Josh Duhamel, who have been on this show. My buddy Pressman here locally. My apologies to you. My fourth down is this.
The
Vikings are in such deep trouble that when it's all said and done, the Jacksonville Jaguars will have a better record than the Minnesota Vikings in the 2020 season.
Ooh. I thought you were going to even go one step further.
And what is that?
Tank for Trevor. It's on. Trevor Watch for Minnesota.
Well, look, that may be a conversation we're having later on. I think the Vikings are still good enough to win more than twice or 3 times because the Jets... Okay. I toyed with the idea of my hot take being the Jets go 0-16.
Oh, baby.
But I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
That would have been hot.
Literally, I couldn't bring myself to do it. Because at some point, they will get Le'Veon Bell back, and they will run him behind Mekhi Becton, who's
That's
nasty,
true.
And they might win a game or two.
That's true.
But in terms of the Jacksonville Jaguars, they are more talented offensively than this Minnesota Vikings team right now.
Ooh.
They are. And look at that Week 13 Close. Game. They go to Minnesota. And they could beat Minnesota in the current state of affairs right now. They could do it.
Jacksonville has a hard schedule.
Jacksonville,
too.
Well, yeah. Jacksonville's got a schedule that is not that tough.
I mean, it's tough. Back end of the season, though, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Tennessee, those are all playoff teams.
They've got their own division to deal with, I understand.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, Jacksonville can have a better record than the Minnesota Vikings right now. Gardner Minshew. Dude, Gardner. And again, I know there's difference between home and road this year. Even though there's no fans, there was fans in the stands. And it's tough to go on the road in a pandemic. I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
For a sport where everybody's so routinized and scheduled to have to go and do something that you've never done before. But Jacksonville ripped up Indianapolis. Ripped him up. And Kirk Cousins, against the same defense, had the fourth worst passer rating in the Super Bowl era. They're in trouble.
Kirk Cousins also still on the hook for $35 million guaranteed next year.
That's my four downs right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm burying the Vikings.
I think that's
I can't
totally
see. I mean, look at their depth chart.
I think it's fair.
So who scares you?
That's fair.
Cook scares you. And
yeah,
Thielen,
Dalvin Cook,
Thielen,
of course.
But, you know.
But Thielen's getting doubled. There's
exactly.
nobody to take the pressure off.
And Cousins is going to have to start winging it around a little bit more. And you know Zimmer doesn't want to do that.
Well, because that could go one or two
ways. Well, because he just wants to run it and get his defense back out there. And they haven't been able to. I mean, they held. You know, Mo'Ali Cox got 100 yards receiving, and I'm hoping that does mean something for the Colts.
Yeah. Well, they have young corners.
Oh,
and they're just getting
torched.
You're talking about Atlanta could put up 50.
How did I not see that? How did I not sit here and think Aaron Rodgers was going to torch everybody that's in front of him because he's so pissed at the world and that the defense isn't changed? The defense in Green Bay still has the same guy. I just thought they didn't improve a damn thing for Aaron Rodgers.
They didn't improve.
That narrative, and I didn't believe in Rich Eisen's show favorite, Aaron Jones. The hell was I thinking? Same thing could be asked of Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, in his evaluation of his quarterback position. What he had to say yesterday, Chris Brockman's news update, Matthew Modine talking about Full Metal Jacket. Private Joker will be joining us here in hour number two. And you at 844-204-RICH, your phone call's coming up as well.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.